The Liberal Party has embarked on a period of deep soul-searching after Saturday's election saw it wiped out in its metropolitan heartland. A generation of Liberal moderates, led by former Treasurer Josh Frydenberg, has been swept from Parliament by a teal wave of female independence. Climate, integrity and the treatment of women were the key issues that propelled the insurgency. Liberal MP Bridget Archer bucked the trend on Saturday by overcoming the odds to retain her hyper-marginal Tasmanian seat of Bass, and she's my guest this morning. First of all, congratulations.
Oh, thanks, Patricia.
We'll get back to Bass in a moment, but looking at the bigger picture, this was a strong repudiation of the Liberal Party. Why did voters turn on the Liberals and the Prime Minister, Scott Morrison?
Look, I think certainly from my point of view, I haven't had the time to really consider that in a lot of detail. Yet, there's no doubt that, you know, this has certainly been a devastating blow to the Liberal Party, and I think that there is much work to be done going forward to rebuild.
How much of the blame for the bloodbath do you attribute directly to Scott Morrison?
Again, I think it's difficult to say without waiting for, I guess, the dust to settle. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of analysis and commentary about this across the country in the days and weeks ahead. And, you know, I will look forward to seeing some of that analysis and considering that in terms of where to next and how we do seek to rebuild and reconnect with the Australian people.
Scott Morrison consistently defended Catherine Deaves and her controversial views on trans issues. How much damage do you think that did to the party in those inner city seats?
Well, I certainly don't think that it was helpful in any way. And, you know, I think that I will be very glad to reach the end of this campaign and hopefully put some of those, you know, culture wars and that divisive type of language to bed, really. You know, I think that Australia wants to be a kinder and more inclusive society and is better than some of that division.
So let's go to that division that you just mentioned. Simon Birmingham cites the marriage equality debate and the climate wars as two other issues that frustrated the party's base. Do you agree?
Yes, I think so. And I think I would probably add integrity to that as well. You know, I think that was another of those issues that I have no doubt is very important to the Australian people, and one that I think, you know, was more in the front of mind of people than perhaps had been considered.
Why did you, just trying to get a sense, now that you can be more open, right? You're not in an election campaign anymore. Were you saying to the Prime Minister and the leadership, hang on a minute, these are the issues, you know, we need to actually pivot on this? Were you telling them this?
Well, I think I'd made my sort of view on that pretty clear throughout the term of the Parliament. I mean, the actions that I took on things like integrity, for example, or religious discrimination, you know, really were brought to a head for me because those were those were the issues that were being reflected to me by my constituents. And I think that's the point that I have tried to reiterate, I think, throughout the campaign, is that that is the job of elected representatives. It's the job of local members, is to listen to their communities and to take those views and reflect them in Canberra. And I think that is one of the lessons from this campaign and from this election, is that I think in large part over time that has declined. And we have seen both here in Australia and I think, you know, overseas as well, an increasingly sort of tribal political culture. You know, my team's better than your team, rather than, you know, what's the direction that the country needs to go in? What is what are the actions that are going to best serve our communities? So I hope this provides an opportunity for the country and for the Liberal Party to reconnect to Australians and to the needs of our communities and put those sort of ideological contests aside.
One of the stories of this election, Bridget Archer, will be the way the Liberal Party lost professional women. When do you think the rot set in? Was it at the various revelations about the treatment of women in Parliament and the response from the leadership team, including the Prime Minister?
I think it's a combination of things, and I think it is, a growing assertiveness, for want of a better word, in women generally. You know, I think women are more prepared, are increasingly more prepared to stand up and say, hang on a minute, like I want to have a say on that. And I think we saw that, I feel like we saw that turning point with the March for Justice, for example, when, you know, women sort of sat up and said, hang on, I've got something to say. So I think it's both a reflection of what people were seeing and hearing, but I think it is also just a growing confidence and awareness amongst women themselves, which I think is a great thing.
Scott Morrison had to speak to his wife Jenny before he appeared to understand the full horror of an alleged sexual assault in Parliament House. Did that go to the core of the problem? Did that establish an image of a government out of touch?
Potentially, but I think it also, and I think what we mustn't lose sight of, because I think it's very easy to focus on one person, on Scott Morrison, but I think to me that that type of thing is also really reflective of some broader issues that still exist in society. It's not just, you know, one person or something that happens in Parliament House. And I really do think it's important to remember that and to keep our attention on that, because I think we do everybody a disservice if we don't. It's very easy to dismiss these things as something that happens in Canberra or happens in Parliament House. Actually, these things we know are still far too widespread in our society, and I think we all need to work to try and address that.
Was Scott Morrison's name himself, you say you don't want to focus on individuals, but was he a problem in do you think, while you were campaigning?
Yeah, it certainly was challenging, and I think Labor used that here, certainly against me as a campaign strategy to link me to Scott Morrison. And, so I think that it certainly had some impact. But I think also that I have over time demonstrated that I'm my own person and that I do try to listen to my community and reflect their views.
Do you believe that the Liberal Party needs to adopt formal quotas?
I think it's certainly something that needs to be considered. It's considered after every election. I think something that'll be one of those things that'll be discussed. But we have seen where, there has been Liberal women elected to the Parliament this time, new Liberal women coming into the Parliament. So that's very positive. And I think when we're seeing more women come into the Parliament generally. So hopefully that also creates an environment, and I think we need to work to create an environment where it's actually an attractive proposition for women to seek pre-selection for whether it's for a party or to stand for office. You know, the more women that we have in the Parliament, the more that people can see women in the Parliament. I think that that certainly is going to be the thing that encourages other women to get involved.
Are you going to put your hand up to be Deputy Leader?
I feel like that would be fairly presumptuous.
Well, would you like to seek the Deputy Leadership of the Liberal Party?
Look, I think we'll see what happens. I am very interested and very concerned in seeing the Liberal Party rebuild. I've seen some early commentary around, some idea that the party should move further to the right, and I will certainly resist all efforts for that to occur. Because
including putting your own hand up?
Potentially, I guess, but I think that we must do everything to resist that. And I think it is telling, really, that whilst we have lost many, many moderates at this election out of the Liberal Party, As you said in your opening address, my state is one of the most marginal in the countries. And despite this result, it appears that I have managed to hang on. And so I think that that actually speaks to the fact that we need to bring the party back to the centre, not go further to the right.
So this is a massive turning point in your view, and you're worried about a further lurch to the right. So what leader does the Liberal Party need now? You don't have Josh Frydenberg as a contender. Will you support Peter Dutton?
Well, as I said, I think we'll wait until the dust settles and the party room returns to have those conversations. But I do think that there needs to be balance within the party and that we need to make sure that that the party is brought back to a centrist position. That is where the history and the values of the Liberal Party lie, and we have to remember that. And that is where electoral success lies in the future. I'm in no doubt about that. And so I think that there needs to be, serious consideration given by the party room about how we do that going forward.
So you want to stay on and you're clearly ambitious. You've said, you could put your hand up possibly for the deputy leadership. Is that because you want to fight for the centre? Is that what this is about for you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I remain a member of the Liberal Party because those values, those historic values mean something to me. And I will fight to protect them and to restore them. That's why I still remain within the party. So that means that I have to play my part in that, and I have to be prepared, as do others, to stand up and say so as we move forward.
Bridget Archer, a pleasure to speak to you this morning. And again, congratulations on retaining your seat when, well, so many others couldn't.
Thank you. Thanks, Patricia.
Bridget Archer, re-elected Liberal member for Bass. And some breaking news there. She says she is interested in putting her hand up for the deputy leadership of the Liberal Party in opposition.
Stream any ABC radio station live and on the go. Discover new podcasts, music and audiobooks, all free on the ABC Listen app.